Moncrief on News Talk.
With the all-new Dacia Duster. We've even impressed ourselves with this one.
Now, mathematicians enjoy a cup of coffee as much as everyone else, which is perhaps why a group of them at the University of Portsmouth set about trying to devise how to make the most efficient cup of espresso. On the line from there is Dr. Jamie Foster. Jamie, good afternoon.
Hi, good to talk to you. So
what was the aim in doing all this, Jamie?
So the initial aim when we began this was just to try and understand exactly what is going on inside an espresso machine.
And what is going on inside an espresso machine?
Well, yeah, good question. So the water is pumped through this kind of cylindrical bed of coffee grounds at rather high pressure. And when we started writing down some equations and comparing the equations to some experiments, we found that in settings that people are using in practice, there may be inefficiencies and sources of irreproducibility.
And by which you mean that if you put a certain amount of coffee in an espresso machine, you might make one or two cups with that amount of coffee, but the first one and the second one won't be exactly the same.
That's right, yeah. So the kind of short version of the reason why you might find that your drinks aren't reproducible, is that if you overgrind your coffee, you have particles which are very, very, very small inside the machine. And when you turn the water on, those very small particles get in some of the gaps that you might want the water to go in order to dissolve the coffee. And this leads to unpredictable flow of the water and inefficient dissolving of the coffee.
Though hadn't it been among baristas that the kind of general logic had been the finer the coffee, the better it's going to be, or the stronger
that's
it's going
right,
to be?
That's right, yeah. That's right. And I mean, that is true up to a point. So if you grind finer, you have more surface area in your coffee machine, which does give you more reactions and more dissolution and a stronger drink. But you can have too much of this good grinding. So if you overdo it, you end up clogging up your machine, which hampers the process rather than helping it.
Right. So your answer was to grind the coffee less fine or slightly less fine.
Exactly. Yeah. So you want to grind finely, but just be careful not to overdo it. And if you don't overdo it, so you get the same drink time and time again if you keep your recipe the same. And one of the important kind of upshots is that you can actually afford to use less coffee because your extraction is more efficient. So somebody who likes a drink made with 20 grams of coffee, if you tune your grinding carefully, you can reduce that to something more like 15 grams.
Okay. And so what kind of a sum do you do? And if you can explain it to somebody who's completely innumerate, meaning me, what kind of a sum do you do to figure that out?
Yeah, so, I mean, the technical name of the type of model we've got is a system of partial differential equations, which sounds very fancy, but essentially what it does is capture the concentrations of the tasty coffee chemicals, caffeine, various acids and things, and it tracks the concentrations of those chemicals in the grains, how quickly they dissolve, and then how they move through the water inside the machine and eventually into your cup.
And that equation, does it? Do you have to tweak it depending on the coffee machine and depending on the coffee?
Yeah, so the equation itself is generic for all machines and all coffees, but there are various numbers that kind of sit inside that equation, which vary depending on the machine, the coffee, various other things. So different people with different machines and different setups will need to tweak the numbers from what we've used in the study, but the kind of advice that we give is generic, and we expect anybody to be able to use that.
And you have been using, and you've been applying this in the real world.
That's right, yeah. So my co-author, Chris Hendon, who's based in Oregon, has a local coffee shop that he's very friendly with, and they've been using this recipe in their cafe for, well, they trialed it for a year, and the trial was successful, so they're continuing to use this recipe. And like I alluded to earlier, they've reduced their coffee mass by about 25%. And so in a small cafe like the one where this has been done, they've saved several thousand dollars over the year.
So if you extrapolate that out to all coffee shops, what kind of a figure are you looking at?
Yeah, indeed. It's quite large. So if the trial were to play out in the same way that it did in Oregon across all the coffee shops in the United States, you'd be talking about an annual saving of north of $1 billion. So it's certainly worth thinking about.
Right. Okay. Have you received any approaches from Starbucks, or and have you copyrighted this formula as the first and very important thing? And have you received any approaches from kind of coffee chains?
So we haven't copyrighted it. We're academics. We've, you know, do the science and put it out there and see how it's received. And I'm personally extremely excited to see what the fallout and the reaction from this is going to be. I'm expecting positivity, but you never know, and it will be interesting to see what happens.
Yeah, I imagine that coffee shops would be delighted by this. The people who perhaps grow and sell coffee, maybe less so. If it might lead to lower sales for them.
Indeed, yeah. Yeah, so the coffee shop owner is going to save some money here, but it's perfectly legitimate to have concern for, you know, perhaps the farmer whose demand is less, and even the roaster whose throughput will be smaller. Another win of this, of course, is the fact that the environment is under less of a burden. So there is a kind of environmental impact slant to this, which I think everyone would agree is a good thing.
Jamie, thanks a million for speaking with us today. That's Dr. Jamie Foster there from the University of Portsmouth.